It's a Sunday morning, a strange time to be on the road, but I'm treating my day as I normally would if I were out traveling to provide support to a new setup, which I am. The fact that the setup is in Africa and I continue to be in eastern New Mexico is irrelevant for the whole point that I need to get to get this server working correctly. And it's primarily on my shoulders to be the driver in that. So it's early in the morning, the sun's not even up yet. Doing all that. Last night I hear about 10 PM Russell M. Nelson passed away. The passing of a prophet. There's gonna be many things of memorial services, which I've always been kind of goofball about. The more important thing is to install the new prophet. At this time, he's still living. Dallin H. Oaks will be the new president of the church, unless something really different happens, and you can't discount the fact that that's what could happen. I was just thinking this morning, as I was getting prepared to leave, that that the first presidency for a very long time and elements of the Melchizedek priesthood have been basically performing the responsibilities that should have been placed on the bishop, the presiding bishop of the church. And that the church has for quite some time, and I think it was primarily to help Anglican and Protestant converts to feel a deep sense of comfort when they joined our church. It really didn't, it didn't change their lives. In fact, I think that's one of the issues, is that they aren't being brought in a Jewish fashion. Sorry, Jewish background popping out, even though they say you barely have one, and you go, that's fine, that's what you can think and say. I'm not here to disabuse anybody of that, but the church has basically been about meeting houses. That's been the central focus, just as it is for Protestants, somewhat, and that President Nelson, if we're going to talk anything about his legacy, was the first steps toward a home-based religion, which is very much how the children of Israel, in ancient times, most of their devotions took place at home. The Shabbat ceremonies, meal, were based in homes, did not gather into larger places. And I have always been, I don't want to skip ahead, but maybe I will. It's not really skipping ahead, it's just jumping over to something else. I've always been leery of the church family. And that was all kind of based around a building. You know, you would go and your first goal with any number of Latter-day Saints in reasonable proximity to each other was to purchase land, build a building, and that became the center of religious practice and worship. And that needs to be gotten rid of. One of the first things in the presiding bishop taking charge of the Aaronic priesthood, which really isn't happening right now. They say that it's been delegated to the young men's presidency, which is bizarre. That the youth program should be a collection of families coming together to do activities, a larger thing, so that their children might be able to cultivate friendships among those who share their faith. So yes, one of the first things is to start to divest the church of all of these meeting houses. It's almost become pathetic in Utah because the community / congregational church is just bonkers. They have to make these mega meeting houses that have several chapels in them, and they have to basically shuffle people in and shuffle people out in some kind of strange circumstance that I don't particularly get. This is what I picture is the first presidency releasing all of the congregational bishops, which is all of them. We don't have anything but congregational bishops. And establishing that the Elders Quorum presidency takes the role of coordination in what would be considered wards. Now, these things may not need to be, because to a large extent, the Elders Quorum president is, his primary goal is to teach elders their duties. Elders are basically the fathers in homes. That's why I also think that becoming an elder should be, in large part, brought into the temple to take care of those needs. And that's what an elder is. He's basically a leader in his home. And that's what an Elders Quorum president tends to be. He tends to be kind of helping men to become better husbands and fathers, and leading gospel devotions in the home. Now, this does not include sacrament meeting. Sacrament meeting will be taken out of these settings and will become not a weekly gathering on a Sunday, for instance. It will become, I don't know how often it will be done, but it will be done mostly by priests in the Aaronic priesthood, But you have to understand, most of these priests and teachers and deacons will be primarily men, not exclusively. Offices in the Aaronic priesthood, I don't even know if we'll really keep track of it with the dedication that we tend to give to Melchizedek priesthood ordinations, assignments in the Aaronic priesthood. I don't have any big problem with them being given to women, except for the fact that I'm going to be really rude here. Women have a big problem with authority. And men don't. And that things like sacrament, which will be done on occasion, there will be gathering places, to a large extent we'll be hanging on to stake houses. Now, I don't think we're going to be doing the whole thing of every single state needs to have its own building to form its to form its center place. Like I said, we need to step away from place based worship to the home and the temple. For the most part, bishops in an area will likely be drawn from physical facilities reps to a large extent. And it will be done that way. It will be somewhat of a physical facilities region. Like I said, the church will be divesting itself of congregational getting together sort of things. Church is going to be done primarily in the home. You'll get together on a reasonably regular basis and have a sacrament meeting. Or sacrament meetings may be brought to different locations. I think about Santa Rosa. And the fact that people travel long distances to go to church on Sunday, this is not necessary. To my thought, it doesn't hold any particular bearing. The functions of things like Sunday school are to be done in the home. And this will all take on a very Jewish flavor. Everybody always thinks, oh, Jews are going to start joining the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You go, no, can I tell you, on the ground, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is going to feel far more Jewish and the fact that there is going to be an overriding structure that continues First Presidency, Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the 70. All these things will continue to to function on a higher level. But that the way it feels on the ground is very interesting. We're not going to particularly, you know, the congregational church was based somewhat on synagogues. This was not a feature of the children of Israel for many years. Interesting add-on. Going to the temple will be central. And doing the bulk of one's devotions at home, all the devotions at home. The taking of the sacrament will, anyway. So these things will happen. the actual offices of the Aaronic priesthood will not be treated along the lines of the Melchizedek priesthood, particularly. Deacons will is a responsibility, and the deacon's quorum president is a responsibility for physical things, to make sure things are ready for the sacrament gatherings. They are there to help the teachers, and let me tell you, they are teachers. It says, and it may start smelling more like home teaching just a little, to say that these are the men, the people that ensure that home-based devotions, gospel study, family prayer, things of this nature, that they get the instruction that they need, that they get carried out. So it really is kind of home teaching with a different thing. This whole idea of we conceive people as being active members of the church if they show up to sacrament meeting and other meetings on Sundays as being the great hallmark of what makes someone a good Latter-day Saint. That's going to, that needs to go away in favor of, you know, your ordained teacher goes out and takes a look at you. There is a president over teachers to make sure that reporting and various things like that get done. That Latter-day Saint homes have what they need. Do you have a picture of the Savior? Do you have a picture of the temple? Do you have a picture of your family? These things are vital to your family devotion. And although the organization will be different and it will not be based in buildings, the organization will still continue. Priest quorums, of course, by and large, most priests will act as agents of the bishop, which will be somewhat of a state to regional level responsibility, mostly taken care of by a descendant of Aaron, where it can be found. A high priest can be called to do this if there's no descendant of Aaron here. The priest, of course, goes and takes care of tithing, the baptism of children and converts can be done at stake centers, makes that a larger thing, or to find an appropriate body of water to do it in. This is all very appropriate. But with the approval of the bishop, the bishop's role as judge will become much more stated. It will be much more, you are you are getting into the, you are making sure people are of a sufficient level of qualification, living standards for people to participate in ordinances, and that things like that are done. The bishop okays people being baptized. The large function of a bishop is to do record keeping. A lot of what priests will be doing will be in the realm of record keeping and finances. You know, these are all very much a bishop's bailiwick, and priests are his agents as needed. If you need a sacrament being to be done, a priest is assigned to make that happen. The bishop may choose to do it himself, totally within his place to do that. And the whole breakdown of, okay, deacon's quorum only have 12. Each quorum has 12 members. Each teacher's quorum has 48 members. And each, I forget how many priests are part of a quorum overseen by, I think 96 for elders. Whatever the number is for priests, this affects the sizing. How big a region is how many people can you practically supervise? In the beginning, you will just take your existing elders' quorum presence, and they will continue to do their training of elders, which are endowed men. And I think that really needs having elders that are not endowed, and I think it needs to be a chief responsibility of getting married. Marriage should particularly fall to that. Upon marriage, that's when you become an elder. The Melchizedek priesthood can function how it pleases. As we get away from the congregational structure, elders really have a lot to do with homes. It has a lot to do with you being a father, a husband and a father. So if you have these weird elders who are not husbands and fathers, it's just, you just don't worry about that. You can call it a stake presence if you like. Is that rude? Hope not. It's fine. And that the Aaronic priesthood is not a boys' auxiliary. It is not tied to an age group. It is very much tied to responsibilities. And these are responsibilities that can younger men be given these responsibilities through an ordination? Yes. It says, but by and large, ruled over by men, maturity. deacons have responsibilities for making sure that there is a place for sacrament, that that these places are properly cleansed. And if there's need for folding chairs and stuff like that, that's what gets done. If there's still a meeting house there, they are responsible for making sure that the meeting houses are clean, making sure that, and doing it primarily themselves, because a lot of these functions are going to be, we're going to have less, a lot of these are going to be paying concerns. Teacher's not a paid concern. Deacons can make sure that appointments to different families are set up. Things are done. Definitely something deacons do in their role as assisting teachers in their responsibilities. And the teachers are going to be, you know, there's going to be a reasonably good number of teachers to make sure that these things are being done. Anyway, I've talked about this a lot before, but it just brings to mind again some of the alterations that were made in preparation for COVID. Everybody just breathed a sigh of relief. Went, boy, you know, I'm grateful that we had that. I'm grateful that was there. But I'm definitely glad that gracious. I keep wanting to shift into sixth gear, which I don't have. Anyway, as we try to get more in line with revelation on the matter, revelations on priesthood, revelations on these things. The office of bishop is definitely intrinsically tied to literal descendants of Aaron, where they can be found, and even making it something of a, you know, physical facilities reps, which are going to be probably the first bishops. They're paid employees of the LDS Church, or at least they have been. I think they still may be, because they are intended to stay very busy doing all the things that they do. Because it comes through lineage, this becomes a larger responsibility. But this is also a job that you cannot, if one region needs a bishop and there's too many literal descendants of Aaron in one locale, a responsibility may be set that it's time for them to move and to go to another place. It might even be useful for those people not to get very comfortable in a locality. Kind of like the state police in New Mexico. They don't want you to get too chummy with the natives. It says want you to know that you know you're going to move around a bit. May even have something akin to a parsonage, which is a house designated for that presiding bishop and that bishop and his family. and that you will be moved in and out on a regular basis as responsibilities require it. And yes, divesting ourselves of meeting house, we don't need to be meeting house based as Protestants once were or have always been. We need to stop looking Protestant. Start looking more, Jewish on some level, although with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although it makes it so that when Jews interface with Christ and what Christ wants to have done, they won't have to change their pattern particularly. Oh, stuck behind hay trucks. It's harvest time. It's never used to be a problem for me because I've rarely had to make this trip particularly during harvest season, believe it or not. That's not true, though. Well, no, I have, but it's really been on back roads for it. And I usually did it outside of times when these guys were... Well, I don't know. Anyway, but it's, I've noticed it more these days. So there it is. That's kind of the whole view of this. The presiding high priest, bishop, congregational father figure is going away. The church family is to be sacrificed upon the altar of authentic families. And you go, well, I don't like my dad. I don't like my mom. I'm much happier going to church and picking from a field people I like better and associating with them and, you know, and in default, you think of your bishop like your father. And you go, no, this needs to stop. This is inappropriate. You need to honor your father and your mother. Don't replace them with other instrumentalities, governments, you know, religious gurus. The funny thing is that's what usually happens. Your bishop tends to get exalted to some kind of weird guru status, and you're supposed to interface with him probably more than your own father. You know, if you've got problems, you know, if you need to repent, go and see your bishop. If you need to go and do this thing and that thing, go and see your bishop. And you go, why are we discounting fathers so hard? And fathers seem to be kind of a sub-priesthood holder, three or four rungs down from somebody that you see every single week, if not two or three times a week. And you go, yeah, it says, it's like when you take your kids to school and you go, you know, I just feel like a school functionary. I make sure my kids are properly clothed. I make sure my kids are properly fed. Less and less needed as school tries to take over every function of life. Your kids come home, your job is to make sure that their school homework is done. And you take care of all those pesky things that teachers don't want to deal with, like when your child is sick, when your child is supposed to be asleep, give them the rest that they need, blah, 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 stuff like that. And you're going, yeah, this is, bishops start getting shoehorned into those kinds of things. And you go, we're going to take care of that. The Melchizedek priesthood bishop is going to disappear. They're not going to be there. Your Elders Quorum President will continue functioning as an Elders Quorum President would. Probably the first line of locality. You know, brethren should feel some affinity for the Elders Quorum President. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, just like when they were trying to make bishops less harried by all the responsibilities that had been dumped on them to be basically the community leader and ultra dad. And they said, no, they're going to be working primarily with the Aaronic priesthood with you. And at least in my thing, that never really happened. They said, as soon as they said, well, if you've got lots of extra men and you need a lot more things, you need to call an Aaronic priesthood advisor, which is exactly what they did, which was a replacement of your young men's president. And my thing was most existing bishops need to be made either young men's young men's presidents needed to become these weird Melchizedek priesthood bishops because they were going to lead over those. And the guys who really, and almost all of them do, style themselves as the presiding high priest, father of the ward, needed to become Elders Quorum presidents. And that was, and so what I'm saying now is that your existing bishop now should probably go on to actually become the Elders Quorum president for that thing, except don't micromanage. You're just there to coordinate and make sure everything's all right. And to start looking over the families much more diligently. The bishop is much more about different things. And increasingly, supervising physicality, making sure that sacrament meetings are done. Homes need to have the facilities and the ability and the resources needed so that they can carry on family devotions, which is where the bulk of day-to-day devotional work needs to be accomplished. And then go to the temple. Okay. Now, I don't mean to get into that again, but it was interesting given the fact that President Nelson's passed away last night. And then everybody's getting all rigged up for all of the brouhaha. We all go out, march the streets with big signs, with their last picture, and we all say how wonderful it was. You go, not, no doubt, but it almost immediately needs to stop and become. Let's talk about President Oaks. People are gonna struggle. It's already said in the past that if President Oaks ever became the prophet, you know, a good third of Latter-day Saints would leave the church because, you know, he's just so closed-minded or whatever. And you don't know what he's going to do until he has the mantle. It was really interesting when people talked about his call, when he was called in 1983 to the apostleship, and he was basically called from, like you said, he had no experience as a bishop, he had no experience as state president, he had no experience of any of these things. And you go, boy, this may very well be the time when it's like the church needs to change in larger ways. We need to continue the metamorphosis that really President Nelson kicked off to a large extent. And that COVID showed us well, I'm nearly to my destination, so I need to go ahead and let this go. So I'll talk to you.